Nah, not today. Not today. Next,
Piece of
don't worry.
pizza.
I'm working on it. Up here. And here, where it counts, right here.
Right in the heart.
Yeah, isn't that where it counts? That's where it counts, guys. That's where it counts. But how's it going, gentlemen? How's everybody doing tonight?
Doing very well.
James, good.
Dirty, thank you so much for having me.
Of course, of course. Pleasure to
Sure.
have you. Thanks for coming on. Thanks for coming on for this crazy fucking film, which had me thrown
Is
for a
this your first
fucking
show?
loop.
Are this is
Yes.
your first watch for YouTube?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. And it was a doozy. And you want to know
Ooh,
what we're
yeah.
talking about?
I think I know you're gonna get good stories out of me and Trevor on this one.
I can't
I
fucking
think
wait.
we're going on 10 viewings now, and that's on the low end.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'm not that high. This is probably my last 2 years ago when I watched it was probably like my sixth time.
Damn.
Damn.
Yeah, first time watch for me.
Yeah, first time. And
I'm happy I watched it.
it was,
I'm
yeah, it was
fucking
a
happy I
crazy
watched it.
one.
But
It
episode
is.
482, UNITY, you know the queen, the legend, Queen Latifah. Song is in the description. Check it out after the episode. But wow. What the fuck? I enjoyed this shit so much. I had so much fun with it, especially when you, I don't even want to mention it yet, but when you see the twist and you're like, what the, what?
Yeah.
What?
Yep.
What the? I'm so confused. What? I love it, but what the? Oh my gosh. And wow, what a great movie. Honestly, what a great movie. What a great twist. I love when a movie has a twist, when they do throw those twists in there and they work. They really throw you the fuck off. I'm like, oh my gosh, that was beautiful. That was beautiful.
Yeah.
And
It's
the
really nice to
gore.
hear you say that, actually, because I saw this in a theater. And at the time it came out, the ending was not liked. It was considered insanely cliche. There was virtually nothing but negative reviews for it, and it tanked in its own country, France. Now, so many years after, which I think it was like 2003-ish, it's been revisited, and a lot of people are putting new eyes to it and really getting the meaning and the transgressiveness that actually Alexandre Aja was going for.
Well, can I ask you, Trevor,
Yeah.
when did it come out? When did you see it in theaters? Because 2003 is when, around that time, I was made aware it existed.
No, it came, it did come out in 03.
Well, no. It came out in 2003 is when you saw it. All right. So I don't know how long ago after that, but I remember in 2003 it coming out, and it was more, I think the cult status is what built it up. Like the fact that you couldn't find it here.
What was the uncut ability of it? Now, it did make it into the United States with roughly around a minute cut out, which doesn't sound like a lot, but the amount of bloodshed you can stick into 1 minute
Yeah.
is mind-boggling.
Well, it's funny too because I had to see it because I had to go to a convention to get a bootleg copy. The only way I was
Uncut
gonna find
was
it.
very sought after.
I
Actually,
still
the
have
second
that copy.
site,
That's awesome.
I have the I bought it too, but I want to point out too, like when we say bootlegs, it's not like pirating now. Back then, if you wanted to see a movie that they were saying was never going to come out here, you had to do that.
Yes.
Like, this
Yeah.
is a,
You had no other choice.
yeah,
You
you, it
literally had no
wasn't
other
like,
choice.
I'm going to go down this dark alley and buy the brand new movie that's out in the movie theater. This was like halt tension. It's in your face. It's being talked about if you're a horror fan. And I'm using this as an example, but I've done this with, and I'm sure all of us here have done it. Horror conventions were the best place for it. To go and get those bootlegs underneath the table that just didn't exist anywhere. You
Did
know.
I ever tell you my story about Famous Monsters of Filmland convention?
No, what was
Okay,
that?
this ties into what you're talking about, which number one is very important to understand in the growth of the horror convention and the horror community. It wasn't just that these were movies you weren't seeing, it was like a lot of Italian horror, especially, and foreign horror, was released in this country in these horribly truncated versions that took all the gore out and also an amazing amount of the story to pack it into like 8 minutes. So the only way you could see uncut versions of Mario Bava films and things like that was either get some guy's telephone number and address from the back of a magazine, or you went to a convention and you paid about $25 at the time per video cassette. Now, I was lucky enough to go to the Famous Monsters of Filmland convention when I was a teenager with my parents. And I kick myself to this day because the keynote speakers were Isaac Asimov, Ray Bradbury, and Ray Harryhausen. I was more interested in the showroom. Well, while I'm walking through the showroom, I've got a John Woo movie in my hand. I'm just looking around. I pick something up. I forget it was. But these two guys approach me, and they start telling me about, well, if you're getting this John Woo film, you need to get this John Woo film. And they walk me over to the one person. And then my mother comes up to me and goes, do you know who they were? I'm like, no, John Landis and Joe Dante. Oh, that is one of my favorite memories of being a child.
That is so awesome, nice. Man.
But it illustrates how important there was a whole commerce of uncut that doesn't really exist anymore, which is a shame.
This was, yeah, and this was one of the bigger ones too in that culture, because to talk, and it's so funny, I'm coming off a horror convention podcast to this. Back in the day, and anyone who went to conventions back in the day, and I'm talking 20 plus years ago, it was a culture. Mm-hmm. And you knew all the ins and outs. It's almost like when you watch like the Pirates of the Caribbean movie and they show up at Tortuga and everybody just sort of knows how to talk to each other, how things go, how the deals are made, stuff like that. That's what conventions were. You knew how to get what you needed to get and talk to people and this, that, and the other thing. And it was so much easier and nicer. And like to go today and see where it is, and it's grown and it's beautiful. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it's bad where it went, but that culture sort of is diminished and gone.
It's kind of like a sea of Funko Pops now.
Sea of Funko.
Where back in the day, you'd have to go to get a Funko Pop-esque type of collectible from Japan that doesn't exist in the U.S. at all. And
I want a Bandai toy. Oh, I guess that means I have to go to a convention now.
Yeah. Ooh, a Bandai toy.
They don't exist outside of it, so.
Yeah. All that Godzilla stuff you had to go to the conventions to get.
That's the cool thing about conventions, though, is you have that opportunity to still go out there and shop and grab some cool-ass shit, grab some really cool shit that you may not be able to grab anywhere else but at that convention. So check them out, people. Check them out. Not a sponsor, but can be. Holler at me. I'm serious, conventions. I think I'm joking. Shit.
No, nobody thinks you're joking.
But let's dive into some early ratings, though, gentlemen. Honestly, first time watch for me. Rating, no reason. I'm going to say a 7.5 right now. I'm going to go with a 7.5.
I'm going with an 8.
I will go with a 9.5.
Ooh.
I would put this at an 8.5. This is a solid, solid horror movie.
It really is.
And, you know, to your point earlier, Trevor, it was... I remember how frowned upon... Because again, a lot more horror fans heard about the twist before they saw it, because it wasn't rightly available, and I think it was judged prematurely on that. So when it came out in DVD, it wasn't like a smash hit here. And I feel that's sad, but I hope it finds its footing with being on streaming and being able to see it, because this is a horror movie that, yes, for the time, it was super gory. It was matching things like, what was the Hostel and like Eli Roth stuff. That's like, so it took a tone, but a good, like it did in such a French way that was really special.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
it was a dope fucking movie. It was a dope movie. I'm gonna bump my score up to an 8, but like, it was just, again, the twist is what, I mean, everything leading up, the build up, everything leading up, the fucking, because you see so much go on. You see so much go on. You can damn near feel their pain and feel sympathy for them. And then you just keep watching and watching. And you're just like, what the fuck can happen next? And then you're like, oh my fucking goodness. Holy, what the fuck? Mm-hmm. What? I mean, wow.
Just I really enjoyed that the staircase kill.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh my god.
Oh my I liked it.
We were talking about Uncut, and I'd recently picked up the Second Sight version of this film, which is the most uncut it's ever been. And that scene goes on for about 8 seconds, which doesn't sound like a lot, but for it's very grueling.
Yeah. Can I ask you guys a question? So is this spoiler, or is this, are we treating this as like, I mean, it's a 21 year old movie.
Oh, this is a spoiler podcast, man.
I know. I just want to make sure, because there is a twist.
1000% spoiler show. Unless I say the only way that I won't 100% spoil is like, say if I get an indie film, like, hey, you guys can discuss it, but please don't spoil. Other than that.
And if you're feeding off what Aaron was saying earlier, talking about the twist, and he wasn't mentioning it yet, because if we jump right into it, he wanted to get some of the beginning out of the way first.
I want to stay at the beginning, and actually this pertains to the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So can we just unveil that first, or do you think that we should just hold off and then I'll ask the question then?
No one will tear us apart.
The truck with the head getting thrown out the window?
We can talk about that.
Why not?
How does it exist?
Okay. So do you mind if I jump in?
Yes, please.
Okay. So there are a lot of different readings to this film, but one of the most common and most universally accepted is that Marie, on top of being insanely sexually repressed, is also a schizophrenic. Mm-hmm. So she is living exactly what the Philip Nolan character, the Tru, or number 9, as he's known based on his ring. Mm-hmm. That runs parallel with Marie's idea of what reality is. So you're actually dealing mostly with the disturbed mind and the trauma that is Marie. But it is also a situation in which it literally flips the final girl idea. Now, Aja originally wanted it to end at the scene in which Alex is staring at Marie on the bed of an insane asylum and just let it open to interpretation. Yeah. He was told by producers it was too abstract, so they forced him to act. No. Actually, that video of Marie, which they think is Philip Nolan's character, killing the attendant, the police actually see that it is Marie. That was going to be viewed at the end of the film also. Mm-hmm. I personally feel that that would have worked better, but this film exists in a conversation. So to say, well, am I giving anything away, is like talking about The Sixth Sense now. This movie became known based on the fandom and the word of mouth. So it's not about, you know, the payoff. It's about the experience.
You know what's funny?
Question, Nick.
I appreciate that, because that really does. And like I said, it's helping me form a couple of others.
You know what's funny about this movie is, as I've heard of it, but never paid any mind to it. Like, never even thought to pay any mind to it. And when I was making this wheel, this was just one movie that, when I was looking up in Google for the theme, you know, powerful women / or Mujeres Locas, you know, crazy women, for the month of March, because we're all about that support. And this movie's happened to pop up. And I was like, let me throw it on here. And I'm so fucking happy I did. I'm like, holy shit. Like, it's so intense. It's so intense.
Yeah.
For a long time. Like, once the intensity starts, it doesn't stop.
Yeah.
Not even. And I like how they made her other persona.
Yeah.
A nasty, like, truck. Like, I don't even know what kind of truck that was.
You know what it made me think of? It made me think of the truck from Jeepers Creepers.
I mean, that's a very Italian vehicle. It could be French too. I mean, it's very similar, but that looks like a very Italian vehicle to me.
Remember, it's a French film too.
When you say Italian, a Italian love letter film. It is a love letter to all those extreme Italian movies.
So I wonder.
There are references to all kind of horror films throughout the whole thing. But I am going to interrupt because he's talking about, you know, the bad guy, the creepy guy. His name's Philip Noah. He actually was in two films by Gaspar Noé, one called Carne and one called Irreversible. Now, Irreversible and Carne are very much responsible, along with Trouble Every Day, for the French extreme movement. And that's where this movie is so amazingly important, because it took the art house French extreme and it took the slasher and it mixed it together, and it took a crap on what you think the final girl is. So there in a nutshell, that's kind of my general feelings of the film.
Okay. Yeah, I that's a great assessment. And for me with this movie, I wanted to go back, and because this ending reminds me very much of Identity, which came out in 2003 as well, but the only one to come out here, you know, in the mainstream in 2003, you know, like, so more people saw Identity in 2003, which I think was a weaker version of this twist. So I think by the time this came out in 2005, and I'm speculating, that's probably what made people be like, oh, it's been done before. You know, like, this, there's such a twist, because like, it was recently, like, and essentially came out the same year. It's just one had a more effective ending, in my opinion, which I agree, that would have been a better ending, but I still say, compared to Identity, this has the better ending.
And the thing about that movie Identity, I never seen it, but this is the thing I hate about it though. So if you're saying it had the same if it has the same twist as this, don't name your movie Identity, because I'm going to guess. I already going to predict what's going to happen.
Nobody ever blamed the US that person. For subtlety.
Don't name your movie.
They Identity literally try to put a. They twist literally in there. Called the movie America's Sweethearts and put the top actors in it. That was it. And like, so like, there's no subtlety to mainstream.
Who the hell was the top actors at that time?
John Cusack was in it. Julia Roberts, Catherine Zeta-Jones. So like, that was like coming off of the heels of like the Oceans movies and the popularity there, and and John Cusack.
The Rat Pack.
Yeah. So it was just like, so you get those. Hollywood doesn't always get it. just put it that way. If it's about, you know, Hollywood and says Hollywood is so special and strokes its hair, it will get an Oscar. So
it'll get an Oscar.
Yeah. It ain't what it used to be. And even then we're still. Can you tell that I'm not excited for the Oscars this weekend?
I didn't even know it was this weekend. Shit. Wow. Could have fooled me. Hey, Oscars, I'm not gonna mention you guys anymore until you pay me. Peace. So
I never watched them.
I think it's this weekend. I'm pretty sure. Yeah, it's March 10th. Yeah, I knew it was this weekend. Because the only reason I always kept up is because I did the Snobby Awards the same day as the Oscars to say, hey, we got a better award show. You know, ours is more realistic. We're actually getting it to people who are voted on. So, because I was, you know me, I'm anti-Oscar. So, whatever. Mm-hmm. Unless there's more fighting.
But more people.
If that's the case, stop throwing Will Smith up there and put Jean-Claude Van Damme up there.
Somebody. Oh, Jean-Claude versus Chuck Norris.
There you go. Academy Awards.
A lot of toxic masculinity.
And I agree. But it's such BS up on that stage anyway. I'm okay with it.
We need Hulk Hogan too.
Oh, I mean, real American right there. Let's just make it terrible. Let's just make it like
Oscars by Donald.
Oh, Trump. You want to? Okay.
I want to let them give Vince McMahon an Oscar at this point. Like, go have fun. Oh, damn. Got on that one. Yes. Well, I hate to railroad your show. Please.
No. Keep going with that. That was good. That was good.
That was it. All I had was the identity versus high tension comparison. That was a great movie. This is a great movie. But there's so
you know what's good too, that like I didn't catch on until I found out the twist too. Because every time where she snuck in, she was like she went to her girlfriend. I think they're dating. I'm not even sure anymore. But she went to her, and it didn't seem like the girl was relieved by seeing her. Like, you know, like, oh, you're going to help me get me out of these chains. She still had the fear and shaking. So I was like, why is she acting like that? I would be like, oh, yes, you're here. Help me. But she was still, like, afraid. So then it ends up that's why. Mm-hmm. Because she's the one fucking killing her
Which
family.
Which was nuts. Like, that twist was nuts.
I'm like, oh shit. And I just realized that after I found out the twist. I was like, God damn it, that's why she was acting like that. I was like, there's like no relief in her eyes that she's seen that she's still alive and she can get her free and shit. She was just like curled up still, like shaking, like get away from me type feeling.
Yeah. That was well acted.
Yeah, that was cool. Yeah, I really enjoyed the movie. I was shocked.
You know what it kind of gave me the feeling of, and which made it even
I love foreign.
And which films. Made it even funnier was like I was like, this movie kind of gives me the Martyrs vibe, in a sense. Once this movie was going off on Tubi, that's the exact movie. I swear, that's the exact movie that was coming up next.
Yeah.
And I was like, if I had the time, I would watch this wild shit again, because this was nuts, and it was, oh my God.
This was the United States' first taste of the French extreme movement, and it became a cult very quickly. And honestly, it was a direct influence on the torture porn films, Saw, Hostel. They were a reactionary to this movement. That wasn't doing extraordinarily well in France, but it was doing amazingly well over the world. So Fronteres, which was then remade, I think, Martyrs, Calvaire. There are so many insanely over-the-top inside French films.
Oh, that was all so this good.
Yeah. Oh, Inside was that, great.
Oh my That's
the same movement. So you've got these people that are bringing in these, you know, references of French film, and they're very well schooled in film. But these were also kind of the first gen that became obsessed with John Carpenter and Argento and everything like that. So they made this amazing recipe that was, you know, it's probably about a 20 film cycle, but it's just mind boggling. And High Tension is, I think, the watermark, because it does what many of the other films don't do. The other films are more distinctly French, is it really embraces and plays with your idea of slasher conventions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this was just, I was honestly shocked how good it was. I was like, okay, cool. Because you see the gore, you see the blood, but then you're like, wow, this acting is really good. Holy shit, this story. I can get into it because it's just like, what the fuck? What the hell's going on? Why is this guy
doing it? The music, too, is very good.
Yeah. Which, I mean, in the beginning, going back to the whole, you know, the head thrown out the window scene, like, what was going on before that? I'm like, so, what the fuck?
He was filleting thrown out the window.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, that little detail there we got to toss in.
Filleting. You're right about that. And then I'm like,
yeah, the beginning too. The question too, like, why did this dude all of a sudden know where this house was and just pulls up and just starts walking in, killing people?
Yeah,
that threw me off too. I was like, the fuck is going on here? I was like, okay, he just decided, like, okay, this is.
I'm glad because a movie like this doing that, because I mean that's not lost. Italian films have been doing that. Italian horror films have been doing that, where you know it's a little more mysterious to it, not so much in your face. Well, I mean, some are in your face, but. But that idea, but even like Carpenter, Michael Myers, like walks in, stalks, does the whole thing. This being more in your face in the style, like Trevor was saying, to, you know, all those amazing like torture porn of the time and some bad ones. But I'm glad they did this, because one of the best horror movies, and in my top 100, that, and it's that first one, is The Strangers. And this has to be, it had to be an inspiration for that movie.
That was good.
Yeah.
I got to go back and watch those again. It's been a while, but that, oh my God, that was good.
Yeah, I haven't seen Strangers for a while. Now, Inside, my opinion right now, is my favorite home invasion
movie. It's bonkers.
Yeah, I'm, you know what? I'm with you on that, just because of how, like,
crazy.
Which, if you guys want to know how we really feel and, you know about the movie that I watched,
yeah,
we
watch that
we did it back in the holidays, right on that playlist for the Jewish and Christmas holidays. Go check it out. But that movie's fucking awesome as hell. That movie's awesome as hell. And it's just like, I don't even want to tell you guys a twist. Again, go find out the spoiler from the other episode. But that twist, I was like, oh my God. I understand, but you took this shit way too far, lady. But I do understand. I completely understand, because it's like, I would probably lose it. I know I would lose it. But I feel, I would hope I would take the correct steps and not do that, not crash out, so to speak. But holy shit.
Crazy. It is. I mean, listen, this is a movie that, in my opinion, influenced a great curve. And I'm not saying it's the only direct influence. There's a lot of the time. No. And this was even influenced by a lot coming out. But I would put this high. I would rate this high in that early 2000s as pointing a direction towards a more violent tendency.
Not only that, but with the female lead or leads.
Yeah.
Because
I want to credit House of a Thousand Corpses for that too.
That's fair.
Yeah.
But I'll say, without a male having to be like a part of that, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, this is the woman lead. This is the, like, I'm doing this shit. I'm even killing dudes. Like, that type of shit. Like, she's just doing whatever the fuck she wants.
In a certain way,
that is fair to say.
In a certain way, that kind of takes us back to, you guys were talking about, you know, the figure, the Philip Nonnen character that just kind of shows up. He's the epitome of everything disgusting about overt masculinity. And that's why he is what he is, because, of course, he doesn't exist. He only exists in the mind of Marie as she is actually doing it. And also, there's some pretty direct references to Carpenter's Halloween and the idea of the shapeless figure, especially when the mother is killed in the bedroom.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And to be that representation of that really works
the
well.
Total opposite of what Marie wants to be.
Yeah. I didn't think about it that way. I like that idea of, like, especially if that's really well done costuming and makeup to help create that. Like, that's and especially direction. I like that a lot. So that's very cool. Thank you for sharing it.
Hell yeah. I'm going to pull the wheel up real quick, guys. But before I do that, I just want to let you guys know what's going on for the rest of the week. So, as you guys know, over on Sturdo Vision.
Yes.
Rotor, whatever the hell it's called.
Rip off RoboCop.
We are going to have a blast with this.
That is fun.
I'm hoping Mick will show up for this one.
I have to rewatch Rotor. I think I'm going to take off the Outcast tomorrow, and I'm going to join in.
There you go. He's going to join in, people. And then we're back. The group is back. You know, what happened was, let me explain this to you guys to understand.
Illness.
Yeah. We could say that, but I'm going to really tell you guys what happened. So Darth Vader's nephew kidnapped Chris. And we had to go save him. Mick dressed up as Chewbacca and started making those noises. Because he's tall. Chewie. I'm sure Chewie's really tall. And then I got a lightsaber and, you know, dressed up as chocolate Darth Vader. And we got it. So we'll be back Saturday for, I hope I got the right one up, this right here. Boom. Popcorn and pints at 9 o'clock Eastern time. Nice. 56. Trevor, you're more than welcome to join. You're always welcome to join. The door is always open if you're free, of course. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be a great time. That's going to be a great time. Now it's time to pull up the wheel. Chris, you're welcome. Before you guys ask, Sue, Puerto Rican Chris got deported. That's why you won't be seeing him on the pods. I had nothing to do with it this time.
Nope.
I didn't.
We told him not to go out in the daylight.
He don't listen. Nope. Uh-oh. Us?
Of Jennifer's body. Or no, it's
nope,
us.
Nope, Jennifer.
Jennifer's body. Nope, good Jennifer. Film.
You know, the last film of hers we got wasn't bad.
Yeah, I liked it.
What was
it? It was the better versions of Gerald's Game.
Yeah.
What's it called?
Talking about Ready or Not? No.
Till Death.
Until Death. Yes.
I was testing you, Mick.
Yeah, right.
I was testing you. That's what happened.
Nobody believes you.
You know who believes me? Bret Hart. He always believes me.
Oh, come on, Us. I love Us.
I love Us too, Mick. I love Us too.
I love Us.
Shut up.
I haven't seen Misery in a long time.
You've never seen Audition?
Oh, I seen Audition. We reviewed it.
Why are you redoing Audition?
Because it was fucking amazing.
And you gave it for the 30 rewinds.
You talk about a strong woman.
Mm. Yeah. Actually, I would have argued because you liked Audition so much, you should have added Hard Candy.
Oh, Hard Candy was wild. Okay.
You know what?
We already reviewed that,
I may add it, though, Mick, because I do need one more. I do need one more for this wheel.
Although, so. I don't know. Like, I don't know if that's... And I swear to you, I'm asking respectfully. Because it's Women's Month, Strong Women's Month, and Elliot is...
But, I mean, she got her revenge.
Like, she was playing a character, though, so, like, the character was a female, so that's respectful to put under women's... I don't know. I'm trying to...
I see what you're trying to say. We'll talk about it behind the scenes before either of us say something stupid.
I don't think we're going to say anything. We're pretty respectful.
Yeah, but...
Still. I think we just ask questions. There's nothing wrong.
No, Hard Candy was... I think we reviewed that,
We did.
That's a good movie. Mm-hmm. They both did a great job in that. What's his name? Patrick Wilson, too.
Yep.
It's such a weird, but I mean, it's weirdly enough, like we're compared to this movie, a movie like this, or, you know, like where it's that revenge sort of, or not, this one not really doesn't work under the revenge, but that revenge type of tale where you're kind of like, ah, I don't know that they deserve that. Hard Candy, you're like,
I get it. He deserved every single bit of it. You like, cheered. Like, yeah. When I seen that part, I was like, finally, yes, this is what he deserves.
Yeah, so, like he was a scumbag in Audition, but did he deserve that?
I don't remember. We'll find out.
But though. Hard Candy, you're kind of like, yeah, you're good. You deserve this shit.
Audition is amazing just because, I mean, actually it fits in with the film we're talking about tonight because that comes from the 1990s extreme Japanese horror movement. So you had them both around ballpark the same time, give or take about 7 years or so. And Audition is one of the hallmarks by one of the most crazy people, director Tagasuke Miike.
Nice. I can't wait to watch that shit again, man.
It's great. Next week.
It's such a fun... Oh my God, it was so good. It was fucked up, but it was so good.
I'm going to have to start looking up these extreme movement movies, like the extreme ones.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, during the late 90s, and it was really an indie boom that was doing it. There was a really well-done embrace of, even by mainstream of indie, and you got a really cool extreme horror movies out of it in that time. And like I said, a lot of them directed horror going forward, in my opinion.
I'm going to ask you guys this before I force it upon you, like I tend to do, and I can't help myself. Trevor and Mick, can I give you guys a little bit of homework for Sturtlevision for me?
No.
All right. Well, Trevor and Mick, can each of you come up with, let's say, 4 extreme horror movies that are easy to find on streaming, if possible? I mean, 4 each.
I would actually submit. I mean,
like, well, what's
extreme to you? Like, I'm an absurd. Whatever extreme
to you, because that'll be very intriguing for me.
Like, Ganja and Hess is an extreme movie to me.
Which is excellent, by the way.
It is an excellent movie. Like, awesome. But like, it's not this. Okay. You know what I mean? So like, it's, oh, well, yeah, you got it, Trevor. You know, I know you got him in the in the pocket ready.
Cannibal Holocaust.
Yeah.
Everybody already says did that it. Once, but you kind of have to put it there.
Yeah.
It's the number Esper one. Noray's Irreversible.
Mm. Oh my God. I won't watch that movie again.
Is it that crazy?
Amazing film. It is. 4, right?
Wow.
The cinematography.
You know what I'll do? After the show, I'll ask you guys when you get a chance to just to send me some movie covers of what you think, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, because mine are like, listen, I know what type of absurdity or what time of extreme you're looking for.
Necromantic.
Oh my God.
I have every film that guy did. That says a lot about me, doesn't it?
Oh, that actually does.
And my final is a film that was made in Germany called Cannibal, made in the 2000s, which was a very graphic retelling of an actual case involving a guy who got another guy on Craigslist to donate his body to being devoured.
What so the?
That's not an easy one to find, but you know, I could go on forever about ones that aren't easy to find.
Yeah, oh, it's not extreme, but it's fun and gory. It is kind of like, it's based on Japanese game shows. It's called Slashers. It's not fair. Like this. It's not highbrow, but it's fun. And I think that's where mine lie. Like, I like that. I like absurd fun.
Well, like, I'll get the weird, bizarre extreme from you, and Trevor's going to give me some wild shit. So I'm good.
I mean, you're talking to a person who just finished watching a film called Herencia Diabolica, which is the Mexican shot on video answer to Chucky, with a midget in face paint dressed like a perverted elf. So
how can I watch that?
I have it. Come visit.
I gotta fuck.
Can you message me the name of that movie, please?
I will.
I gotta find that, because that's a Sturtlevision. If listen, people, if I've ever heard of a fucking Sturtlevision movie, if you ever want your if you ever want a Sturtlevision movie request to be, well, it's still free, to be up there number one, you gotta give me some fucking descriptions like that, and it better really be in the fucking movie. Because that right there is some shit I want to fucking find. A Mexican version of Chucky. It's a little person who looks like a pervert. That's just some wild Pieces. Shit.
Dude, watch Pieces.
Pieces is excellent.
I think I have that. I think you, do I have that?
Watch Pieces. Know. It's bonkers. That it's a bonkers really movie. Familiar. It's an absurdist movie. And it's not even an Italian movie. It's a Spanish movie, Spanish, which I love. It's so... that, like, man, if you really want to if you really want the crazy, you gotta go overseas.
I know that,
because we live in, like, you can get like the crazy, like, you know, you love Thanksgiving, so like that's a really absurd,
that's different
story, that's, movie. That's, but that's what I mean, like a
fun silly,
if you want real horror, absurd, gory, extreme, it's overseas. And if you're not looking in Asia, Australia has a really good, like, indie extreme base.
Body.
Listen, if you got the names on the movies, I'll find them. I got a website.
Oh, yeah. There's tons of them.
The website has them.
That's good to know, though, because I
I'll find them. I'll find
when it. I go to foreign horror, my number one thing is always, always Asian horror because it's
especially Korean.
I won't even count the horror Korean comedies. Horror? I'm talking about like when I go for the serious like Asian horror stuff, it never disappoints. And if it does disappoint, it very, very fucking rarely disappoints compared to our stuff.
And don't sleep on Eastern European.
Oh no, that stuff is just haunting.
Come and See
is a war film, but it may as well be a horror film.
Don't watch Come and See. Come and See isn't one of those movies that you watch. I finished it. I remember Condescending Prick and talking about somebody else, but like I watched that movie and I understood it. I'm not an idiot. All right. I understood it, but I said, this isn't for me and I'm never watching it again. It was horrifying.
What movie was that again?
Come and See.
Come and See.
Oh my God. Is that it's a war movie, but it's horror in the absolute sturdy. You have no idea. It's a movie I will never watch again. That's how hard it is.
That's fair.
And I'm the weird person who watches these movies again and again and again.
But you're
120 days of 120 days of Sodom, Solo.
That's a great film,
but it is truly the lowest of the low.
It is the lowest of the low, but also like I won't watch that. I think it's a disgusting film, but it's poignant.
It is beautifully made, and I also will continually fight to the bitter end that the Serbian film is horrible, not because of what it is. It's a well-made movie. It's a well-written movie. And the acting is spectacular, making everything that the Serbian film is 10 times more horrifying.
I should make a top five list of movies I'll never go see again. But at least I should get the credit that I watch them before I block them. You know what I mean? I won't put a movie on a block list unless I watch it.
Honestly, and I feel like that's where I'm kind of going. I mean, yes, of course, watching Extreme Weird, all the silly shit that I watch on Sturdovision, but I'm also going with like that. Those ones were just like, you know what? I have that weird interest where just like, you know what? It's a late night episode anyway. Let's just fucking get it out of our fucking systems and get it over with. Pull that Band-Aid off. If I like it, I like it. If I don't, I don't have to watch it again. But I don't have to watch it now, but it's just one of those things where it's like, I mean, is that coming up in these conversations now? And it's just, again, it's one of those things where you hear the titles and you're like, can it be that bad? Can it be that? I mean, when it comes to not even a bad film or a terrible, you know what I mean? When it goes to that type of shit. And it's like, I might as well just check, give it a looky-loo, talk about it with the guys or whatever and go from there. So yeah, those are the type. Yeah, we'll talk behind the scenes actually.
It's a lot, but like there's, I mean, and I like questions like this because it gives you a chance to really think about things and what the perspective is, because everything Trevor's saying is exactly what I would expect when you ask, I want some extreme horror movies, and they're perfect answers for it. Yeah. But then you get like somebody like me who's like, yeah, but I mean, like, I'm never going to watch Serbian film again. So I'm not recommending it. I'm not watching 120 Days of Sodom. I get why they were made and I get the messages to them. They're just not for me, you know? So like, even with the absurdist, like absurdist doesn't mean comedy, you know, there's a lot of other absurd, like, I mean, arguably you could say, you take the right stuff, you could watch Head and that's a horror movie.
Yeah.
You know, like, but it's really open
like to interpretation. The movie film?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you could, cause it's a drug induced,
yeah,
you know, and it's really well done. So like, there are certain Jack films. Jones. Yeah, direct. Yeah, it was. He did direct that, right? So, and yeah, like,
he's in it.
Yeah, I just like there's some really. Oh, he is in it. That's right. It's been a long time since I've seen it, but like, and again, I'm not defending that movie and saying you should put that on the list. I'm just saying,
yeah,
absurdist wise, it can be taken seriously. You know, it just depends on where you go with it. So, and that's what I like. I like the weird. I like the crazy. Castle Freak is a great absurdist film.
Oh, great, great film.
You know, and that is not a comedy.
No.
You know, Hills Have Eyes, I think, is an absurdist film.
That's an awesome movie.
Oh, yeah.
I have to interrupt because it ties back into Hot Tension. When you say The Hills Have Eyes, do you mean the Craven version?
Yes.
Okay. So the first film that Aja did for the United States was the remake of The Hills Have Eyes, which is even better than the remake of The Ring. His Hills Have Eyes and his sequel, which it wouldn't take much to make Craven's sequel better, are almost flawless.
Mm.
And so, you know, films like High Tension and the French extreme movement, and as we talked about at the same time, the Japanese and Asian extreme movement, they were really influencing US. And in certain ways, the 90s and the early 2000s have their own kind of grittier contemporary feel that the films of the 1970s had.
Because keep in mind, too, to add to what you're saying, Trevor, Scream, which ushered in a new height of horror in the 90s, ushered in a CW washed down PG-13 level of horror in the mainstream. So yeah, we were getting movies like Final Destination, which were R, but let's be real, it's very much CW inspired type of movie, or WB or everyone. So like these wonderful extreme like indie movies that were coming out in horror were really making mark, and I friggin' love them, man. I feel like we broke off into three good sections in the early 2000s, and then they went off the rails. And that was zombie movies. That was these extreme like slasher. It could be, you know, paranormal, but it was like the extreme gore.
Yeah,
you know, in some way. And then with the I just lost the third one that I had. Like, but the third direction was more. I can't believe I lost it. Because it like kind of drove home the point of like what we were seeing, but it's, I'll think of it. But like that's sort of when I like to what you were saying, like these were important films because everything else in the mainstream, even our reboots, were coming out PG-13. So they were damning the reboots of these classics we love, and then we were only getting things like, you know, especially here, Rob Zombie, because those first two movies of his are phenomenal.
Yes,
you know. You must have.
You said, you know, you, Trevor, and you guys said you've seen this quite a few times.
Yeah,
James, turning this on, like watching this. What was your like? Just like finishing this movie for the first time, if you guys remember as well. What was your first thought, like after you finished this movie?
Mine was, holy shit, Like I said, I was shocked. I didn't think it was going to be that good. Like I said, I've been saying in the past month now, I've been really stingy with my scoring because nothing really got me like, holy shit. This one, I actually said, holy shit. That's why I gave it an 8. It's just, the twist got me. The twist was great. I thought it was like a really great one, top twist I've ever seen in movies. I liked it. Like I said, I liked how they had it where it wasn't like her other personality was another female or something. I like how it was a total opposite. Like Trevor said, a disgusting masculine. That's how it took form of. That's what how he takes as a fucking masculine presence. Disgusting and shit, like greasy. Blood everywhere, just goes and kills. I like that.
I would actually,
and the kills, the gore. I was just impressed with this whole.
I would actually argue that a movie like this, and movies that were coming out around this time, the extreme, and like those horror movies, especially, because horror movies, in my opinion, are so they evolve so well in the movie industry, better than almost every other genre. Because it seems like every other genre just tries to match the tone of the decade we're in or whatever's going on. Horror movies don't do that. They'll represent the decade or, you know, even period piece. But I always feel like horror evolves with the times. And this was definitely one where what we see now, a lot of things, a lot of LGBTQ, points brought up in this movie and other movies similar to it, you know, like, which for the time, it wasn't something that was talked about in movies that openly, you know, like these social issues that we saw or the themes that they were really kind of covering in the movie. Like, we didn't see them talked about back then in the, in movies that were coming out like this in popularity. So horror never strayed away. I will say that, you know, horror has always been sort of an in your face to social issues.
Yeah.
But that's its best.
Yeah. I always think it's
at the same time, like you mentioned Scream, which brought in the whole self-reflexive hint, hint, nudge, nudge, let's laugh at ourselves. By the time we got to Scream 3 and there were all these clones, the joke was over. So, you know, horror fans were really looking for something new. And the best horror is politically based. It's making a political statement, either overtly or, you know, under the weather a little bit. This one, I think, does. Not as hard as a Romero film, but there's something about film movements that, you know, it is only truly a well put together movement if there's an urgency in the filmmaking by a group of people that just goes for like 5 years. And we got lucky because we ended up growing up in what was probably the most defining horror film movement time since the 1970s, if not before.
Yeah, that's definitely fair to say. That's definitely fair. I'll say more than just horror. Fuck every genre of
sci-fi, especially too.
Every genre of content, film, show, movie-wise, I think we grew up in the best era for it all.
It's hard. That's, see, I can argue for anything, like depending on the movie, and especially the genre of movie.
But Mick, let's like, go from. Say,
okay, go.
If we're adding all of us from the average age, from you being the oldest to me being the baby of the group,
I'm not the oldest.
How old do you think I am?
Older, younger say, than Mick.
Yeah,
I'm 41.
It's my birthday next week, and he's not letting me forget it.
I'm not. Happy birthday in advance.
Thanks, buddy. I just
47. I'm the closest to AARP age.
Woo. Yeah,
Mick's actually, you know, you can sign up at 45 for that.
Oh shit.
Like, and you get all of the benefits of being an AARP member.
I want my damn discount.
There you go.
Now, pull my finger.
I love how you said, "Oh shit," you taking a sip. Like, well, this motherfucker just said 45.
But I agree with you. Like, yeah, our we were definitely. So I'm doing a study right now, and I'll kind of touch down on it because I don't want to go too deep into it. And once I get actual facts, I was going to incorporate more of you into this study. But I'm going through, as we know, I started with my, which is no secret. If you go onto my Letterboxd, I made lists of every movie I've seen from every year, all the way dating back to like 1899. Oh, so, wow. So like I go through and like I just go through every movie on IMDb and there's and Wikipedia and that came out through the year that I know I saw, and then I'll add it to those lists. So during that like little journey, what was so crazy to me is how much drop off there is after 1980. I am like, if you go to my Letterboxd and look at like 2014, which not 2014, but 2013 to 1980, there's, if it's under 100, it's still in like the 90s. Right. But generally I've seen over 100 movies every year. You get to the 70s and below, and I've seen, and I mean, again, I'm not trying to gloat, but I'd say with my background, I've seen a lot more than most people, you know, who movie watchers, because it's usually very casual. And that's because I'm like Trevor, like I'm very, it's not just horror, it's like very broad. Like I go all over. So there's like, I'm talking 20s to 30 movies in from 79 through each year. That's how much of a drop off. And you also see the drop off of how many movies were made. Wow. It's almost like we hit 1980 and a shift occurred and we just like quadrupled how many movies were coming out a year. And it's just like, I'm continuing, like, there's not much of a point to that because it's a study that I'm working on. And
the home video market.
Yeah. I mean, it had to be the biggest portion of it. Yeah.
Ticket sales plummeted at that time. At the 80s, going into the 90s, it just kept going down. But home video gave multiple lives to particular movies.
True.
Yeah, and then you bring in all the other technologies. There are so many different ways to obtain new media that started in the 90s into the 2000s. So, you know, to take it back to what we originally talked about in conventions, this is a time period where that was becoming obsolete. You now could go on the internet and hope you didn't kill your computer, but download a torrent. Mm-hmm. The tide did shift to accessibility. And I would take a guess that that plays a huge role in it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And then that's part of it. And then I'll explain more off air to some of the other parts of the study, because it has to do a lot with where we're going. So, like, again, I'm no doctor or anything. I'm just a guy who loves movies and he's working on something. So.
Shit.
Yeah, we'll see, but I appreciate that point, because that is, I've always said that, like, porn rules the physical media, or which direction media goes in general, because everything they've chosen is where we've gone.
Mm-hmm. Yep, you know? I agree 100%.
So, and that's always been the case. Movies took off because they started shooting naked women, you know, in the 1800s. So, like, and people were like, oh, okay. so yeah, it's sexist, but you know, I just wanted to point that out there.
I mean, it's not really sexist. Everybody likes porn, men and women. And
that's true.
Everybody likes porn. I'll just say that. I don't want you guys to.
Well, not everybody, but there's a good amount that will accept.
I don't mean every single person on earth, but I mean everybody. Everybody's included to enjoy porn. Everybody enjoys porn, as far as ethnicities and all that other shit under the umbrellas and fucking under the sky and all that other shit. People know
it is the great uniter.
It can be.
It could be. I mean, listen, I'm just saying, if we legalized,
I've seen a video that everybody in the world, all the races.
If we legalized and normalized prostitution and made it safe, yeah, we'd have. I bet you we'd have a lot less conflicts.
Oh yeah.
I believe you. I agree with that.
So, just saying. But that's just my.
And that's for anybody to sell their bodies that's of legal age and clean and all that other stuff that fits the criteria. It's not just for women. We're not sexist.
I'm glad we pointed that out.
Sometimes you got to throw it out there because people like to, you know, hey, yeah, I just think it's just a whip. No. What if James wants to sell his body? That's James's business.
James has sold his body to the devil and the devil's taking it.
What if you don't want to work for McDonald's? Let's open up an OnlyFans site.
There you go.
It's a very newer generation's perceptions are quite different than 30, 40 years ago.
I like it. Yeah. I like
it. I think it's great also.
I mean, yeah, it's so funny.
It's definitely there is some stuff that makes you think, like,
I kind of trailed off on that one.
There's things where it's like, I get why my parents, my aunts, my uncles say this shit is just fucking stupid nowadays. Like, what the fuck? I'm like, why? What is wrong with you kids nowadays? What the fuck are you doing? Like, we were having this conversation earlier on MikTok with, you know, the kids on YouTube, TikTok, and all, like, with the pranks and shit. And it's all the other dumb shit you see online. I'm like, you're literally snitching and telling on yourselves, then wondering who's telling on you. You're putting it on fucking camera, on your social media, on a channel where you probably get paid on, which has all your fucking information and is easy to find if you need to be found, especially by the police. And I'm just like, what the fuck? It's stupid, people. Knock it off.
It's all about that clout. Get that viral fame, man.
Fuck that. Have more respect for yourselves.
Yeah, you shouldn't fear putting your name into a Google search.
Nah.
Yeah, no, if you fear that, that's why I am a very proud person to know that, like, my skeletons are not in, like you can check my DMs. Like, go ahead. Like, again, I don't want to remember shit. So I don't lie.
Exactly.
It's the only way you got to remember anything. And I can't remember.
Can't Google my name because I'm a junior. So all my dad shit.
Wait, that's not me. That is not fucking. You know what? Call me Thomas from now on.
Fuck that guy. That's how when I first met my wife. No one knows the story. I met my wife and our first date. She was coming off. We're going to go have coffee. On the way, she Googled my name. All my dad shit came up. She almost turned around and went home.
Oh my God.
But then she seen the birthday and the age. She was like, wait a minute, that's not him. So then she brought it up and I was like, yeah, I'm a junior. That's my fucking dad.
That is crazy. That is crazy. Yeah.
So my father almost ruined my
future. Well,
never mind. I won't say
that's
that.
Okay.
I'll say that for
you're I'll married now.
Behind the scenes. That's funny though.
Yeah, I'm married now. It's called.
That's crazy. That's kind of funny though. It's like, damn. Imagine if you were a junior, like your whatever your father's history is like what pops up, and your wife now, your significant other now reads that before you guys meet, and they think it's you and not him till they see the age. Like, shit, is that something to be proud of or not? Well, for me, I think yes, but again, I'll speak of some other things behind the scenes because.
I often tell people too. I was like, if you pick a stage name, you better go check that thing. I had to go check Nick Manhattan before it came out because I'm like, let's see how this goes. There'll be somebody named Dick Manhattan, and then all of a sudden it's just turmoil.
There you go.
Or is there a Marvel character? Or
Dr. Manhattan.
Dr. Manhattan. Yeah. I don't have my my medical or PhDs, so
and
I cannot.
And you have clothing on, and you're not irradiating us. So,
oh, you're not the doctor of Thuganomics.
Yeah.
I can't see him. Can't see him. All right,
fucking John Cena. But this is what you get over here on the Horror Reserve 30 podcast. You should know this by now, huh?
That's an image I don't want to think about.
What, John Cena?
Fucking John Cena.
Oh,
yeah.
Him doing this the whole time?
Oh, by the way, people, he has an OnlyFans. I heard he has an OnlyFans, by the way.
Yeah. Hopefully it's not as bad as his acting.
It's just him doing this and jerking off.
I'd argue he got better.
So yes, he's doing this.
He takes himself less serious.
Yeah. Oh, he's in a new movie that just came out with Andrew Santino.
Yeah, like they're going to be goofy movies. He does a lot of goofy, but listen, there's room for that too. And I feel like he's just trying to find his wheelhouse.
He doesn't take himself seriously. And so, yeah. You know, I got to give him props for that.
Like The Rock takes himself seriously. It's a brand.
Yeah.
Like I feel like Cena wants to be an actor and Batista's blowing everybody away with his acting chops.
Oh my God. Yes.
So, I mean, we all know who's on top of that one. The guy who actually tries.
The animal, Batista.
Yeah, but, okay, really quick. Does he have to try more than The Rock does? Because of fame? Because the women love him?
I think because The Rock was the biggest movie star to ever come out of...
Wrestling.
Anybody who comes out afterwards either has to do it differently, and which we see in... I feel like John Cena is following the same formula The Rock did, but he's doing it differently and adding more personality. He's not building a brand. He wants to act.
And it's Roddy Piper.
Oh, I love Roddy. I wouldn't call him the most successful. I did love Roddy Piper. Hot Rod on some of those movies, especially his Billy Blank's movie is great. Immortal Kombat. That's a movie you should throw in.
Right. I've come to chew bubblegum and kick ass.
Oh, they live. But like with Batista, like that's a dude who said, okay, I'm going to take this in a direction where I can act my ass off.
Mm-hmm.
And he's doing it, and so I gotta give it a lot of credit. Like I'm glad
he has my respect.
Performer,
he has my respect. I'm not gonna lie, with his acting, he has my respect because that shit, it ain't easy. We'd all be doing it if it was easier, right? I would be. Shit, But I think we're going to wrap this one up. Unlike, never mind. You guys know where I'm going with that one. It's a Sturtlevision topic. But go check out these fine gentlemen everywhere. They have some dope, amazing fucking content, each and every single one of them. But I'm getting the fuck out of here because I'm tired, guys. So I will see you in your nightmares. Peace. Have a great night.
Thank you so much for having us.
Oh, of course. This was fun.